the House Geeks Real Estate Show, sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, I Loan All Mortgage, Network Title, James Tolson with Country Financial. Today, we are going to be talking about how a professional real estate agent looks for their own home. What are the tricks of the trade that we have learned as we're out there shopping? If you have any questions for us, give us a call during or after the show at 612-207-5388. Again, 612-207-5388. Check us out online as well at housegeeks.com for the latest and greatest searching and researching tools, helpful videos, upcoming classes, and much more. Also, watch us record live most Tuesdays on our Facebook page. Just type in House Geeks and look for the little house and glasses. Also, we have a bunch of additional fun and good information on there. So as I mentioned, the show is going to be about how a professional real estate agent looks for their own home. What have we learned, you know, from the thousands and thousands of homes that we've looked at, the, you know, five houses a month that we're actively negotiating as we bring this into our own personal lives and perspectives. Well, I think the first thing is we have a very good understanding of the importance of this. This is a very, very large financial decision, you know, among the biggest that most people will ever make, especially it's into a single object, I guess is the best way to put it. Yeah, maybe
And it's almost two financial decisions, the loan and the property, correct?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, when I started looking, I applied what I thought was probably 9 months before I was even going to start looking. Now, why did I do this? It's because a loan officer is going to be able to look at your financial situation typically and give you suggestions on how you can improve it if they're a good professional loan officer. Mm-hmm. Right? They're going to look at your situation and go, hey, maybe if you pay down that credit card or you do this or you do that, that you could actually get yourself set up to get a superior loan than where you might just be at that given moment in time. So I applied 9 months out because I really didn't think I was one in a position at that moment. And I wanted to know everything that I could do to improve my loan, improve my interest rate, save money.
Exactly.
Right. And I think that gets overlooked so often with a lot of, you know, traditional home buyers. They don't put the thought into that loan. I actually heard a while back that the average American spends more time shopping for their TV than they do for their home mortgage. Mm-hmm. Do you know with a simple change in your home mortgage in the median sale price, you could save yourself over $120,000?
Yet I get phone calls all the time saying that, yeah, I'll get pre-approved when I find a home I like.
Mm-hmm. If you want to know how to save that $120,000, give me a call. Give Chad a call. We'll be happy to go through that with you. It's also something we cover in the Smart Home Buyer book that we did, Guide Through Your Biggest Financial Transaction. You know, once again, you can reach out to us, 612-207-5388, and happy to send you out a copy of that at no cost. And hopefully you get some good, valuable information out of that. Also, you can join us at our classes where you can get that as well. Hopefully we'll be having another one coming up soon towards the end of the month. If you look at our House Geeks Facebook, or I'm sorry, House Geeks website, you can see all the upcoming classes there. Okay, so we know it's a big financial decision. We know how important it is to do this right. And so if we're buying with a significant other, we're going to sit down and take that time to do the home buyer priority checklist with them. And it's not just important to do the checklist and fill out what are your priorities, but ranking them is the most important part of that process, especially that you have to rank them and come to agreement in the order that you're ranking them. This is what we call the fight starter.
Yeah, that is a key point, to rank them in order and get on the same page with the significant other as to the order of it.
Right,
we've seen enough scenarios to know that there's going to be compromises, and it's good to know going into it where those compromises will be made and know where compromises will not be made.
I mean, if my significant other is looking and wants to be in the South Metro because it's close to her parents' house, and that's her number one priority is location and neighborhood, and my number one priority is like size, and so I'm looking up in Forest Lake and she's looking down in Bloomington, we got a problem, because every time I go to Bloomington, I'm not going to be happy. And every time she goes up to Forest Lake, she's not going to be happy. And then if we end up buying a house in either one of those locations without being on the same page, somebody's not going to be happy for a long time. And usually mm-hmm. will cause a home that needs to be sold again quicker than should be. So doing this priority checklist will save you that hassle of needing to sell a house about a year and a half, 2 years after moving in, because you just can't get back past the objections that one or the other had.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very, very important to do that priority checklist. We also know how important it is to avoid resale objections as much as possible, or definitely to make sure that we are getting fair compensation on the offer for those resale objections. And quite often I'll see a traditional buyer look past these things, and I will say right to them, hey, this could hurt you on the sale.
Yeah. The common comment is, well, that doesn't really bother me.
Right. Right. Well, you know, the problem is this is a multi-$100,000 typically purchase, and you are definitely going to be mad when it comes time to sell if you didn't consider this stuff mm-hmm. or your agent didn't mention it to you. So when we're out looking, I'm going to try to find the home that has the least amount of resale objections. Okay, so what do I mean by resale objections? You know, is it on a busy road, right? That's a super common one. Now, I will say I have bought a home on a busy road, but it was well considered within the price.
Mm-hmm.
And there really weren't any other objections within that purchase. Then you have across from a commercial property or a corner lot or backs up to a highway, a railroad track, high voltage power lines, you know, through the backyard. You know, there's many different things, and right in the middle of a flight path. Can be another one. So, you know, trying to avoid or, like I say, get compensation for it. Now, the flight path thing, it's hard anywhere in the Twin Cities to not have airplanes flying over your house at some time or another. And, you know, if you don't believe me, look up Flight Tracker, MSP Flight Tracker, and pull up a 24-hour period of time and find some spots where there aren't planes usually going overhead. Okay, you know, so it's really about the traffic levels and how low those planes are. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to take that into serious consideration as we try to come up with the locations, the place we're going to buy. You know, one of the things that will happen, too, is I'll go out and I'll see a property that maybe has a layout resale objection, along with a busy road resale objection, along with a commercial property resale objection, right? A resale objection, just to be brief on it, it's anything you can't fix easily, mm-hmm. right? It's something that's inherent about that property. And I'll walk through a house like this with a client, and they'll say to me, Kirk, what's that home worth to you? What do you think? What do you think that home is worth? And I'll look them right in the eye, and I'll say, that home is worth nothing to me, because I would never buy this house, because it's going to be impossible to sell it or fix these issues, and it's going to just be a burden, right? And you get that kind of like turned off look, and it's like, you know, I'm really trying to tell you how and help with avoiding a big financial mistake. And trust me, there are plenty of big financial mistake houses around the Twin Cities. We've seen them.
And the other side of that coin as well is sometimes you want a home, a place to come home and relax. And if it's noisy and a lot of traffic, sometimes it's, you know.
It's not going to be a place you want to call home for long. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Network Title knows it's the little things that make big things happen, like protecting home buyers from title defects. As an independently owned and operated full-service title company, we specialize in all the important details. We come to where you want to close, even nights or weekends. We'll even bring fresh baked cookies. Network Title, stress-free closings since 1993. Work with a company that puts you first. For details, go to network-title.com or give us a call at 651-482-9514.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Newsflash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
My clothing is falling apart, my stuff's in a van, I have to rent storage space, and that will cost money I don't plan on spending, and the sellers are threatening to sue. My loan officer never called much, so I thought things were fine. Now I have to start over.
Avoid costly last-minute disasters by choosing an experienced local loan officer. Call iLoan at 877-373-4467 or visit iLoanHomeMortgage.com. iLoan Home Mortgage is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 4474.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
Hi, I'm Kirk.
And I'm Chad.
With Bricks Real Estate and the House Geeks Real Estate Show, Sundays at noon on AM 950. Here with your House Geeks Market Minute. 5.63 is the average number of showings per week, per listing, in the 200 to 400K price range in the Minneapolis and St. Paul area. This is up over last week and is a main indicator of demand in the marketplace. Pending home sales are down over the same time last year, 10.5%, and the 30-year conventional interest rate is at around 4.35%. This is down over last week's 4.37%.
Conclusion for buyers. All the snow is keeping new inventory off the market. If you are not seeing what you're looking for, hold tight because more will be coming on soon. For sellers, the low inventory is creating an extra demand in the market. If you're ready to sell, now might be the time. Want to know the smarter way to buy and sell homes in the Twin Cities? Check us out online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Welcome back to the House Geeks Real Estate Show on AM 950. Today we're talking about how does a professional real estate agent look for their own home, bringing the perspective of what we do on a daily basis into our own personal lives and taking that knowledge and how seriously do we take what we learn, right? So, I mean, I've been doing this for over a decade, looked at hundreds of thousands of homes online, looked at thousands and thousands of homes in person and negotiated on, definitely more homes than I can keep track of. So we're kind of just going over, our checklist of what we look at. So one of the things that I definitely took into serious consideration was looking for areas that have good upward potential, but are stable and low risk in the downturn, right? So what are communities that are putting money into their community to improve the location? And where do I see values going up just based on what are the surroundings doing? Right. So, I mean, a city that's doing quite well right now is Richfield because of, one, they're putting some money into that city, but also you're getting a lot of pressure from South Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So that's driving Richfield values. You know, Cottage Grove is another area that, although definitely saw a slowdown during the slowdown, picked right back up again as the market improved.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, for me, I took a lot of things into consideration. You know, I wanted something that was very commutable, right? So I looked for the suburbs that were easiest to get everywhere else, because that's what I do in my job, right? You know, make it all, have to be anywhere and everywhere, multiple different locations in a day. So we need to be able to get around easily. You know, and I looked for a city that was putting a fair amount of money into itself. Yeah, so I ended up going with Burnsville was my choice for my last home purchase. You, Chad, you went with Cottage Grove.
Yep, I chose Cottage Grove for the, you know, it's still growing. They're sticking money in the right places. I sacrificed a bit on the mobility side of it, but there were no other agents that were out as far east from the company that I work for, so I thought that might present opportunity by capturing business in a different geographic location.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked the overall feel of the city that I chose to live in.
So, yeah, I mean, taking that time, learning, and you know, this is something we're happy to do with anybody who's thinking about making a buy. If you want to pick our brains at, hey, what areas do we see this upward potential, you know, happening in around the metro? You know, we just named a couple places. I don't know if I would buy in Burnsville today. This was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's not because anything wrong. It's that I think a lot of that potential movement has happened, and maybe I would go somewhere else that I think I'm going to find more movement, right? So, you know, if you want to pick our brains as to what's moving today and what's going to be that good one, I mean, I purchased my place, I think, $264,000, and the last appraisal I had done was over $315,000. That was some decent movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, finding areas that have that. Because, hey, we know that markets turn, and sometimes you have to sell. And if you sell, you don't want to lose money. That's not a good thing. So one of the other things that we're going to do as an agent with our search is we're going to be understanding of our emotions and not let them get in the way of good decisions, right? And I've seen emotions wreck a home somebody loved, and they get wound up in maybe a seller that's being a little jerky. And then they start using this word like, well, it's the principle of it. I'm not going to go up that $1,000 because of the principle of it. What if that home is worth 25 G's more than they're selling it for?
But they won't compensate $1,000 for an older furnace.
Right, right. So it's knowing what, yeah. It would be nice to get that money for that furnace, but I'm not going to make a bad decision because I didn't get everything I wanted. Well, mommy, I'm not getting everything I want.
Now, there's absolutely very little chance of going through this process without it letting emotion affect you.
It will, but you got to you know, keep it under wraps.
But you have to let logic dictate. I've seen more often than not, and I've heard other agents describe left brain, right brain. You know, there's an emotional part of the process. There's a logical part of the process. The logical part tends to be financial and physical, and the emotional is about where you want to meet your friends and family.
Right.
And when those two things line up, then things happen in your gut where you just feel it and you know it's a right decision. And I see it every day. When we walk into a home, a lot of times I can tell people walk in and just by their posture and their eyes and the way they look at each other that there's a good chance that this is the one. And that did actually happen to my wife and I when we did, as much as it surprised me.
It happened to us. Same thing. You know, we knew.
But when we realized it, we said, okay, the emotional part is in place. Yeah. Now let's separate that and think about this logically to make sure that we're doing the right things for our situation and our family's well-being.
Mm-hmm. tight search criteria that, you know, people will be like, oh, you know, I've heard you use this, you know, not looking for a unicorn, but then everybody is actually looking for a unicorn. Mm-hmm. And to understand that is going to save you a ton of stress. And I'm sorry, I don't have an exorbitant amount of free time in my life because of my job. So I'm not going to spend excess time looking at homes that are not going to work for me, right? Being tight with your criteria is not, you know, crazy. It's not being closed-minded. It's the same as you're not going to go out shopping for a sedan and then keep test driving pickup trucks. That would be crazy. If you hate stairs and you don't want all your bedrooms on one level, maybe don't go look at two stories.
Now, to put some context to that scenario, right. One of the things we typically see happen is somebody knows they don't want to live more than a 30-minute commute from where they work. But they're looking around, and they're having a little difficulty finding their dream home. So they decide to look another 10 or 15 minutes away, where you're further away from the city and the prices of the homes are lower. And then they find the exact home they want to live in, but it's too far away. Right. And they decide not to live there. Now they've set an unrealistic expectation as to, okay, we found the home that we love. Now we just have to find it in the other location. But what happens is those are too expensive in the location that they were originally.
Are you telling me location actually applies to pricing and real estate?
Absolutely.
Yes. And so to have a good understanding of this and having tight search criteria and working, I mean, I see it every day. But, you know, if it's a regular home shopper out there, working with your agents, picking their brains, do you think I'm going to find this here? Be honest with me and have them help find what you're looking for as far as the criteria. Do you know how many houses showed up in my home search, Chad, when I bought my last house?
Nine.
Two. Two homes showed up. I set that I wanted at least a half an acre. I wanted a house that was over 2,000 square feet. I wanted a house in a given area where it had wooded lots around it. So I wanted a certain amount of woods. I wanted a house with a pool. Two. Wow. When I set my price range, two. So guess what? I bought one of them, and that's okay. You know why? Because I guarantee to the listeners out there, there's probably plenty of people that when they went and looked for cars, they test drive probably no more than two, and they picked a car. It's okay to do that with a home too, and we realize that as agents. Tighten up your criteria. Find what you're looking for. That's okay. You're going to save a ton of time, and you'll be happy. Trust
me. And emotion.
Right, right. And yeah, you're going to save yourself a ton of stress. And so, yeah, that's how we, as a professional real estate agent, shop for a house. Hopefully you found this information beneficial. Check us out online anytime, housegeeks.com.